So I'm here at Gloucestershire Archives. It's the 23rd of April 2013, and my name's Ollie Taylor. And I have with me a lady who's come in today because she spotted her mum in the photo that we ran in the Citizen on Saturday. So could I just ask you to introduce yourself first of all, please?
Yes, my name's Irene Ryan, née Ball. And my mother was Rosa Ball and my father Alfred Ball. And I believe they, well, I know my mother definitely worked at Field Inn in Platt, and I'm pretty sure my father did too during the war years, in the war effort.
And you were struck when you saw the photograph in the paper. How did you feel when you saw that?
I was absolutely amazed, because although I knew she worked there, I looked at it and I thought, no, I don't know anyone on that. And then I looked again about 2 hours later, and I went through it really well. And then I got it up on the laptop, and I was sure then it was my mother. So I rang my brother and asked him to have a look, and he did whilst I was on the phone. He said, oh, that's definitely Mum. So that's how it came about. But I really don't know an awful lot, because I was such a young child. I was about 3 or 4, so it was preschool. And I just remember that she used to get herself into these blue, and I remembered the colour very well, blue boiler-type suit, and put her scarf on her head and roll it up to cover the hair, because I believe no hair should be showing because of the heavy machinery. And so then she'd put me in a pushchair and we'd go off to my grandmother's and leave me there for the day while she did her work, which was on a 40-ton crane. And I was amazed, because she never ever learned to drive anything else other than a treadle sewing machine.
So you said that you were born in 1939.
I was, yes. I was born in 39, so that's why I think I was about 3 or 4, depending on when that photo was taken. But she was there somewhere from, well, if I was born 39, she wouldn't have been taken away so soon. But I should imagine it would be about 43, 44. I'm only assuming that.
And looking at the photo, which one is your mum in that photograph?
Yeah, she's on the very end of the right-hand side of the photograph in the middle row. She's got glasses on, whether it can be seen there. Yeah, just about. Yeah, that's her on the very end. Yeah. But I don't know any of the other ladies. Obviously, I wouldn't, because they, even if I'd met them years later, they would have changed, wouldn't they? I mean, my mother changed. I've got old photos of her. She worked also at the toy factory in Gloucester, and I've got plenty of photos of those, or did have, but nothing to do with Field Inn in Platt. So it's amazing how that came up, and I was delighted to see it, absolutely, yeah.
Can you just take me through one of those mornings? You remember your mum getting ready for work. Can you describe those impressions for us, please?
Well, I, to be honest, I never cared that she was taking me off. I wanted to be with my mum. And my brother was school age, so he's older than me, of course, and she'd get us both ready. My brother went to an elderly aunt, and I went to my grandmother's. And they live very near one another, so it wasn't that difficult for her. But I can just remember seeing her in these this blue boiler suit type overall, and it was blue, not a navy blue, not a light blue, sort of more darkish royal blue. And then she'd be fussing around with her hair, and then the next thing, this scarf would go on in a turban style, and I'd just be standing there just looking up at her, and then the next thing, we'd be on the road to Granny's house, and that was that's as much as I really remember, you know, except that I spent all day at Granny's house, and then she'd come and pick me up afterwards. Yeah.
And so what sort of time of day would she be getting you ready and ready herself to get to work?
Yeah, it would be shortly after 6 in the morning. It would have to be, because I believe it was 7:30 she had to be into work. So we were always on the road for 7 o'clock, by 7 o'clock, and even winter time and everything, because she clocked in, I believe, you know, that was the term they used, wasn't it? Clocked in, and she had to be there. So there was no option but to get us up early and out. Yeah.
And where would she have been walking to work from?
She would have been all in Treadworth. I lived in Nelson Street in Treadworth, and she would have been walking to Park End Road, where my grandmother lived. The houses are now demolished. And then she'd have to just cross over the road and into New Street, where my aunt lived. And she'd drop my brother off there. Well, of course, he took himself off to Treadworth School, which was within walking distance, and he was old enough to do that himself. So, yeah.
And remembering your mum's hairstyles, would that scarf have been something that she would usually wear, or was that something specifically that she was doing for the job?
No, she would never actually wear it. I never saw her in the scarf during the day at weekends or anything like that. No, she'd never tended to wear it. I think that was basically because of the job. She wore it because of the job, I believe, because they were all operating machinery in the department she was in. They had to have the hair out of way for obvious reasons. Yeah.
And do you remember how she was ever after work? Anything that she sort of said, or any moods that she might have been in? Was she sort of happy or exhausted?
I think she was very tired. I get that feeling. She'd come in and I can see her standing at the wall in my grandmother's room. And it's very difficult to remember, but, you know, the more you think about it, the more it does come back. I can just remember her flopping down on a chaise lounge that my grandmother had there, and she looked weary then. She looked weary. But she would be sort of in her 40s, and, you know, I suppose just turned 40 probably, so not old, but you know, obviously on a hard day in a factory, in that environment, I imagine that she was rather stressed, yes.
And you said that she went on to work at the toy factory. Do you know what she'd done before she went to work at Fielding and Platt?
She had various jobs at different times, but before, I don't know. She went afterwards to the toy factory, as you've just said. She also worked at the cinema as an usherette and a cashier at the cinema, is now a church, I believe, in Park End Road, called the Empire. We as kids called it the Flea Pit. But she had various jobs. As I said, I think she only worked at Fielding and Platt because it was the war effort and people tended to be taken from their homes to do this. Yeah.
And you said that there was an option, you know, if people didn't go and work at Fielding and Platt, what was the other option?
Well, the other option probably was to take in children that had been evacuated from bigger cities like Coventry and Birmingham, maybe. She just didn't want to do that type of thing, I think, and so she probably decided, well, she'd do that, you know, she had enough to do looking after us, you know, she perhaps didn't want other people's children, because they could have been quite problematic, couldn't they, really? But anyway, she decided to go to Fielding and Platt, and I don't know if she was there even for the whole of the war years, until the war ended. I'm not sure about that. And as I said, my father did work there, but I have no idea which department he could have been in, except that he was by trade a carpenter and joiner. So whether he was put into the carpentry department, maybe he was. So that's as much as I can offer.
That's it's wonderful that you've come in and you remember these things. And I think it is more than likely with your dad that if he did have those skills in woodwork, then he would have been in Fielding and Platt's pattern shop. Yes. Because a lot of skilled people who worked in wood worked there. So that would have been the natural place for him to be. Yeah. And thinking about your mum, I think if she'd had these jobs working in the cinema, that, you know, bear no resemblance to driving a 40-ton crane at all. She must have learnt an awful lot. But it must have been the people skills that she would have had to work at Fielding and Platt, because they were notoriously a company that employed good people-skilled people. Was that what she was like as a person?
Well, she was a very quiet lady, actually. She was very unassuming. I mean, she enjoyed life, and, you know, she had a hard life. I will say that she did have a hard life, because although my father died in 50, he was only 47 years old. And she had three children by the time he died, which there weren't the handouts then that there are now to help widows and, you know, with children. And she had a hard life. She had to work. She worked all my childhood life. I can not remember a time when she wasn't working. She had to do that. And so therefore, I just associate her now with just having to go out to work. And even as we got older as children, I would come home and I suppose, in today's words, it'd be latchkey kids, because we'd have to let ourselves in and get up. She'd leave things for tea and everything. We'd have our meal at school, and she'd leave things, and very often she wasn't in until 6 o'clock in the evening. And when she worked in the cinema, it was even later than that, of course. Yeah.
No wonder she was weary, having to do a full day at Fielding and Platt.
And come home with two children at the time. She didn't have my younger sister then. There's over five years between my sister and myself. So she didn't have Teresa then. She Teresa came in 45, so she would have left there anyway. But then the war was over in 45, so, you know, I don't think she went back there after that. I'm sure she didn't. So she would have been home for that short period of time. But again, I've got memories of my sister being taken down to my grandmother's house. So she was working somewhere, but whether that was the toy factory, I'm not sure. It could still have been Fielding and Platt, actually. Could have been, but I can't be sure.
And thinking about the end of her working day, what sort of time would she have picked you up again from your grandmother's?
I think it would have been somewhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock in the evening. Yes, we'd go home then. But of course, we got fed, you know, and everything. I mean, my grandmother was great. And it was my cousin and her family. She had a husband and a son, and they lived in the same house. It was a large house. My granny was quite old, and she lived in the front house part of the house. And my cousin, who I'm always called auntie because she was that much older than me when I was young, and she looked after me a lot then. And I'd go in to see my grandmother, but my grandmother was very old. Yes, she was. I think she was about 76 when I was born. So she was going to be old when, you know, she's going to be about 80 odd, isn't she? Yeah.
And seeing this photo in the paper and seeing your mum remembered in this way as part of the Fielding and Platt project, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, I always knew that she worked there, and I always knew that she drove this 40-ton crane. I do remember the very first time she told me about that, and I couldn't get my head around that at all, because I was sort of, I don't think I was married at the time, but I was certainly a teenager, you know, 18, something like that, and I can remember my mother driving a crane. And she said, oh yes, she said, I wasn't the only woman, but she said, you know, she said it was something you did, you know, and she seemed to be able to do it quite well, obviously. Yes, no, I was quite surprised, very surprised, in fact, to think she did that, yeah.
And when she described it to you, how did she describe the job that she did, the driving of the crane, the works, etc.?
She didn't describe too much at all. If you ask my mother anything, it was all sort of pushed to one side. They were big cranes and very heavy, but I never really got the gist of what she did with these cranes. I think I'd probably gathered more by what you'd written. There were men doing things with ropes, and it would have been lifting things, wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't really know quite what she was doing. She never really talked about it much, but she said she was up in the gods, up near the ceilings, the rafters. Yes, she would have been, wouldn't she? Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
That's as much as I can offer, I'm afraid, because, like I said, I was such a young child, and it was just seeing the photo. Actually, I was delighted to see it because, you know, I have got photos of my mother when she was young, but it just brings it all back. Just because at the time when you're a child, you don't really appreciate what your parents do for you when you're that young. It's just taken for granted, isn't it? You just do it, and you know. And when I think back of what all these people, not just my mother, of course, all these people did during the war effort, it's startling, really, to think what they could get through, what they did, and how they survived. Because times were hard, really hard, and especially, like I said, with my father dying at such a young age, he was only 46, and having to go out to work. And I know people do it today, one-parent families do it today, but, you know, there weren't the handouts. That you just didn't get anything given to you, you know. You just had to rely on what you could get, you know, and everything was very basic then, and we were all much slimmer. Okay.
Thank you. Just one more thing. You mentioned the boiler suit, and you remember her getting dressed in the morning. What did she wear under the boiler suit, do you recall?
I don't really, because whenever I would see her, she had it on. She had that on. I don't remember what she... Because she'd say, you stay there, you be a good girl, I'm just going up to get dressed. And she'd sit me down maybe somewhere. I don't even remember that. But then the next thing, she'd come down. But I remember her standing... We had a mirror in the kitchen. And she'd stand in front of this mirror. She had the boiler suit on by then. And she'd put her fiddle around with her hair, and then she'd put this this turban style. It was just a square scarf that she put corner to corner, and then wrapped it round her head. And the bits over the top went in. It looked just like a turban, but you couldn't really see any hair at all, because they weren't really supposed to show their hair, I think. So for safety reasons, obviously.
Do you remember what she had on her feet?
She would have had, I think they were lace-up shoes, not much of a heel at all, but they would have been, just an probably black lace-up type shoes. But I don't remember so much the shoes. It's just this image of the boiler suit seeing her. Because she was a lady, women didn't wear trousers back then. Today, you wouldn't look twice at it. But back then, it was skirts or dresses. And to see my mother in something in that you would see a man wear, perhaps, normally, that always sort of amused me. It sort of amused me, yeah.
Did your dad ever make any jokes about that?
No, I don't know if he went off earlier or whether this was, still can't remember time, because as I said, he did have TB. Now, I believe he had it for quite a long time before he died. So this could have been a period of time when he was in hospital, Standish. Have you heard of Standish Hospital? Yes, he was out there. And this could have been during that time, for all I know. I'm not even sure whether my father was actually in Fielding in Platt during the war years. I know he was there at some point, and I got a feeling it could have been before the war started. So if he was going in from time to time out at Standish, then this could have been during the time, because I don't remember seeing my father in the house at that time. I really don't. So I got a feeling he could have been away at Standish. So, yeah.
That's some wonderful memories. Would you like to add anything else?
Well, not really. You know, as you said, they're wonderful memories. And it does bring it all back to you when you know, of your own childhood, my childhood. It brings it back, you know. It's things that obviously locked in the back of the brain somewhere until something like this happens. Then it comes to the fore and you can begin to think of more things, you know. But, I got a feeling that it was just a very hard time and for everybody during the war, as we all know. I mean, we've only got to read papers and books and see it on television. It was just a very, very hard time for people. So she survived it, thank God, and, went on to live to be 73, which is my age now.
That's lovely. Thank you.